Okay, right. Well, and so I mentioned that today's service is going to be slightly different. However, we are still going to worship. We are going to still hear from God's word in the Bible. We are going to still speak in encouragement over each other. So, and there is going to still be a children's slot for searchlight, etc. So we've got all of the usual elements of church, but just not necessarily in the order that you might expect. So I'm going to start off by just handing over to Richard to do an introduction.
I just want to say, I deliberately chose this picture. This is a family meeting, not a business meeting. Now, the danger in choosing a picture like this is sometimes people think, I go to sleep on sofas. Well, my encouragement to you this morning is, don't. Okay? So, but what we're about this morning, we are sharing family news. And my encouragement to me and to each one of you this morning is this. Can you actually just close your eyes? Because I want you to pray this as I'm going to pray. Everything that I'm hearing about the family this morning is the family that I belong to. So this affects me. This is my part. This is the part that I play. Okay. See, we're not an association. We're not a club. We are a group, all shapes, sizes, ages, who are brought together, who are like-minded, because we have Jesus at the center of our hearts. So we are a household of brothers and sisters. We are an organic system. We are connected by the nervous system of Jesus Christ. So this is why Paul says, just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. So everything you're about to hear is to do with you, and to do with me, and to do with us. So, in that context, I'm going to ask Wendy.
We got the slide. Okay, I'd like to just invite all those who have a child or a young person. So we'd like a lot of families up here. So if you are a family with a child of 0 to 18, will you come up here, please, and come and stand with me? Come on, let's have you all. And obviously we're aware that there's some families not here this morning too. Yes, absolutely. Okay, I've titled this Prayer Buddies. Some of you will remember prayer buddies from the past, a term that we used some years ago, well before I joined this church. And so as Rugeley Church family, the idea of prayer buddies is not a new one. Because years ago, members committed to offer support in prayer to a young person. An example of this story I heard recently, I was talking to Alison and talking to Matt, and Matt relayed the story with Alison, that how she described that to have Sheila and Bill praying for him meant such a lot, didn't it? And still does. And that still continues. That is a faithfulness of Sheila and Bill towards Matt. And for me, as you know, I've got two girls. And as they grew up, Naomi and Abby, it was lovely to know they'd got this church family and aunts and uncles in that church family. So as well as mum and dad, they'd got these aunts and uncles that would pray for them, that would just help them in different ways. And it really made the difference as they were growing up in the church family. So, as a Searchlight team recently, we've been thinking about this, how to relaunch this, because it's really, really important. And so we thought, right, we would like every young person from 0 to 18 to be supported in prayer. So what we've decided to do is we've got a little bit of a clip sheet with every child and young person's name on it. And we would like, perhaps in coffee time this week, in next week, over the next couple of weeks, we'd like to connect that child with an adult here. So please do not feel obligated to do this. But if you feel that stirring on your heart, I can pray for a particular young person here, or not here, in the family, that I'm willing to commit to just pray for everyday situations. You don't have to pray with them necessarily. It's about being mindful of them and praying for them about their school life, about their home life. And that's why I've brought all the families up as well, the mums and the dads. Because, as I said, to know that you know that your child is being supported in prayer makes such a difference. I know that myself. So these are the kids and these are the young people. So we'll be coming round with this at some point. And if you feel that on your heart, you would like to commit to that, then we would say thank you very much. Can we just pray for these young people as they go out? Because they're going to go out into Searchlight, into Little Gems, into youth as well. So, Father, I just thank you for each person represented here. I thank you for these families. I thank you for each family that is represented here and your heart for each of them. And I pray, Father, that as each child and young person just explores you, through Searchlight, through Little Gems, through youth, I pray, Lord, that they would capture your heart for them. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Amy. Hey. Nat, just to remind you of the age groups that we have. So, Sheila.
Morning, church.
Morning.
Yeah, morning. Right, unaccustomed as I am to technology, this could be quite fun, actually. right, okay. As I was praying over this week, what, you know, I was about to deliver, I felt how much Father has entrusted to us. And to be honest, how much, it made me realise just how much he's entrusted to us. And I kind of felt sort of overwhelmed. I thought, goodness me. But it was a kind of good overwhelming. And I felt that Father said that really to seek his guidance on all these matters and be good stewards of, you know, what he's given us, and then he will be honoured. So, right. So what you're about to see now has been presented in a simple format. Hopefully that will help me. And hopefully it'll help you and your eyes won't start to glaze over. So that would be really good. I'm not going into great detail because there's other family matters on the agenda today. But feel free to come and ask me any questions afterwards. I'll do my best to answer them. And also to comment how you actually found the presentation, whether it was helpful or not. And if not, I'll try and improve. Okay. I just want to say thank you very much, Andy. Andy has prepared the charts for me because I've no idea how to do that. And also to Bill because he's helped me with the figures. Okay. Eyes down. Here we go. Oh, I need this, don't I? Right. Are we on? Hang on. Yeah, that's the first one, isn't it? So, as we look at 2016, this is a chart of the money, the income that we've had into the church. And as you can see, if you look at the gift-aided income, hopefully, right, you can see that 2016, our total incoming monies, it says at the bottom, £97,185. And this is a chart of how it was made up. So, gift-aided giving and non-gift-aided giving came to £63,000 of that £97,000 total. And that includes, with the gift-aid giving, that includes what we get back from the taxman, because we get a percentage back that goes back into our pot. And that's why we encourage people who are taxpayers to gift aid the money. So if you add that on to the rental income of £24,000, that makes a total of £87,000 there, which is actually 90% of the income So, that, you know, that is a huge chunk. And the balance of that is other church income, which is made up of when we have gift days or events and things like that, we get money coming in from that. And then we also get money coming in for food bank as well. Although we can't categorise that in the same way because it's actually ring-fenced. It's not get-at-able to the same extent. Okay, right. Going out for 2016 in total was £113,204. And looking at your chart, £59,200 of that, which is actually over 50% of the total, went out on staff costs because partway through 2016 we added two new coordinators. Yes, hooray! We're very grateful because they're doing a fantastic job. So obviously that increased that percentage from previous years. The other biggie, and what I've done here is I've put repairs and property costs, light, heat, water, the thing that we have to have the centre, and rent, which has been minimal because we've only been paying £1 a year, so most of that was rates. And that came to £27,700. So £87,000 of that total, which is basically 75% of the money that went out of that total, was staff costs and property costs. Legal and professional is auditors. We have to have our accounts audited every year. Solicitors' costs, especially involved with paying out for the voyage lease that we had to do. That came to about £7,000. We've got admin costs, which covers equipment, you know, printers, anything to do with that, stationery, telephone costs. And then church activities, which included in there is youth work, there's marketing, pastoral costs, fellowship costs, and service costs like things to do with sound. And also food bank. We've got some money going out there, but not that much. And then we've also got a segment for donations paid out on there, which is our whatever our church income is, our giving income, we tithe 10% of that. We give out to wherever, whatever's been decided. But that does not include our rental income. We don't tithe our rental income or anything else. So it's purely that figure is based on our giving. Are you with me so far? Yeah? Is it making sense? Oh, good. Right. So those figures that I've just given you, there are actuals. There were actual figures for 2016. When we come on to 2017, this is our projected figure. It's our estimate. So it's not set in stone, but it's our best guess at this point in time. Gift-aided giving and non-gift-aided giving still comes to about the same percentage overall, but we've put in that it's slightly down for 2017 because we have had a few members leave who obviously contributed to the church, and at this point in time they haven't been replaced as such. We've got just over £60,000 we're estimating to come in terms of gift-aided and non-gift-aided income. Rental income, we've got as £27,000, up slightly on 2016, because we felt as more people get to know us and hear about us, hopefully we'll get more people coming in to hire the centre. And that figure is actually in spite of the fact that it tailed off at one point in 2016 because as councils had less money, we stopped getting the council-funded people so much. But we've got other people in now to replace that, and we've got plenty of people using the centre in the evening, which is great news. But we could do with more people using the centre during the day, really. Right, yeah. Other church income, we've got a slightly down on 2016. But who knows? I mean, it's a guesstimate. We did have a one-off lump sum last year, which obviously was an increase. So that's why it's looking, the segment, if you like, is looking less. And food bank income... looking slightly less there, but then we had a big one-off payment in 2016 when they did the Christmas market, so that really bumped it up. So who knows? But we shall have to wait and see. Right, on to the next one. So projection of what we think we're going to be spending in this year, basically. Staff costs, the figure there is £68,200, and that is up on last year because it'll be a full year. The coordinators only started halfway through last year, so that figure, it's an increase because we're going to have a full year of them this year. Repairs and other property costs, I've got gone down slightly, well, estimating a slight down of 24,600, because a lot, when you're new into a property, you spend quite a lot up front, really. So we're not estimating that we'll be paying out as much, say, on repairs this year, but this is general, this figure. It doesn't include any major alterations of any sort, basically. So over the two, that's a figure of 92,000, which, again, the staff costs and the property costs, they're about 77% and as against 75% in 2016. So about the same, really. So we are estimating our expenditure overall is going to go up to 118,700, and a chunk of that will be the staff costs going up. So there, in summary, we're saying for 2017, projected income is going to go down about £6,000 on that. Okay, and the expenditure, so we've had income down and we're saying expenditure here, the difference between the two, about £5,500. So we've got the incoming down, the outgoing up. So we're expecting the shortfall to increase from 2017 to be £27,750, what the shortfall is. But that is based on if nothing changes. If everything stayed the same, that is what the shortfall would actually be. But things don't change, they don't stay the same with our God. You know, he will change things. So to put this shortfall that I've been talking about into context, if you look at that, at the top, at the beginning of 2016, 285,000 in the bank, and at the beginning of 2017, 270,000 in the bank. I just got to apologise that when you see that this building purchase part, it is actually slightly out of ratio. It should be slightly smaller and the remaining funds slightly larger. And the reason is I haven't put a figure in there as far as the building purchase is concerned, because at the moment we're still in negotiations, and therefore, we can't exactly quantify it. I've put in the projected shortfall, we talked about the 27,750. At the bottom, we've got what's going to be left. So obviously, the building purchase is, it's a big chunk, basically. And to summarise what that sort of graph is saying or meaning is that we have sufficient funds to purchase the building and fund this projected shortfall for 2017. But obviously we couldn't continue doing that indefinitely year on year because we'd run out of money. But that the shortfall will, I feel, influence initially what we can do in terms of major alterations to the building until there's a shift and something changes. That is it, basically.
Okay, before she goes, I just want to thank Sheila for all she does as treasurer. Yeah. I know you have a very supportive husband, but actually you lead the way in this. And as Richard Smith will come, it is sometimes, it's not the most blessing of roles. It is in some respects, but actually, so I just thank you for your good stewardship in what you're doing, Sheila. We thank you. Thank you. Great. And actually, I want to thank you for all that you contribute to Rugeley Community Church. And I want to say this now. It is important we know the figures because we are all family together. But as Sheila intimated, some of those as projections. Well, if we were just business, we'd think, oh, help. But actually, this is his kingdom. It's all his anyway. So we trust God, not the figures. The figures are important because we want to be good stewards of what we have. And actually, as family, we need to know what our circumstances are like. But actually, we trust God. And I'm going to speak on this at some time because you might have noticed we've got a very nice new lectern. Well, somebody has kindly, in the church family, paid for this. And I've learned a huge, huge lesson in trusting God for finances. And all I was saying at the moment, false humility can seem right sometimes when actually it's totally wrong. And I've in this last week, learned a big lesson with finances, which I will share at some other stage. But we're not sharing these figures because now we feel it's a time we need to let you know about the shortfalls and what we're getting and what we're not getting. We're sharing this because it's good stewardship as family. Because what Sheila has shared is what you have, what you give, and what you need. See, because you're the church. We're the church. So we're looking at this together, I hope. We don't tend to make a big thing of finance. The offering box is an example of that. We don't hand a bag round because we want to be in the presence of God. But actually, finance is an important part of family. It's an important aspect in how we run family. So it shouldn't be ignored. And also within our finances, we don't want our generosity to be restricted by fear. See, either we'll trust him financially and express the joy of participating in that, in his purposes on earth, or we'll trust our own earning ability and live with anxiety. I can tell you about that last week. I was an anxious person. I didn't sleep. You think, you didn't sleep because of a lectern, Richard? No, I didn't sleep because God was teaching me a bigger lesson. That I shouldn't be anxious or fearful. I should trust him. That doesn't mean I'm not a good steward of what we have and that I don't have a part to play, because I do, because that's how family works. But ultimately, it's all his anyway. So trusting him in both a personal and a corporate, and corporately, is an action. Whether that's the growth in the church finances or whether that's numerical growth in the church, both involve elements in which we both play a part in, all of us. And I've been reminded this week that in giving, in whatever form that is, God allows us to be a part of that, part of his plans, where we live. So if we're not giving, we're not playing our part in his plans in this area. And every single one of you was placed here for such a time as this. So I thank God for each and every one of you. Now, in one sense, our giving, or should I say the size of our giving, is irrelevant. Jesus confirms this in Mark 12:41. Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put and watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw in large amounts. But a poor widow came and put in two very small copper coins worth only a fraction of a penny. Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, I tell you the truth. This poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They all gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all she had to live on. See, what happens, whatever we're giving, whether that's in our time, in our finances, it has to be in the right spirit. It has to be in a spirit of, I'm giving to my Father. And there are two quick lessons that we can learn from the widow. The first is this, that a relationship with God is not about the external show. It's about the internal reality. And secondly, this reality is a trust so deep that we can let go of everything holding us to this age and cling fully to the Lord. She wasn't governed, the widow, by her external circumstances. It was the depth of the love that she had for her Father that she stepped out in. So I ask myself every January, and I'd encourage you to do this, and I'm not just talking finance, I'm talking in my walk with Father, am I contributing to my church family as much and as often as you want me to? And I do that in a father and daughter. I do that as a son, and we do that whether we're sons and daughters. Because we should ask Father, what is it you're asking of me? And you know, when somebody is obedient to God, like with this, others get mightily blessed. And that can be in anything that we do. So when you're obedient to Father, you'll bless others. I have produced, if you want, some scriptural reminding and just making sure that we're in the right place. We've done contributing to the church family. There'll be sheets that are out on the table at the info desk, Dave.
I'm just going to do a quick building update. But the first thing I wanted to say was that we've had a couple of prayer meetings, really, just to encourage the staff within the centre and just praying about the centre and praying for the centre and the work that takes place here. And a couple of things struck me. And if it hasn't struck you, I'm going to strike you now. Not physically, I'm not going to come around and bash you all. But the reality is that it struck me that, I don't know about you, but when I come in here, when I come in this building, there's something different. Now, I know that because people who have absolutely no concept of what we're about walk in the building and go, wow, this is different, isn't it? We've got to remember, it does look like Colditz on the outside, so it's a bit different when they come inside. But it's more than that, it's actually God's presence. It's God's presence, and it makes a difference. We had the guy, you remember the caretaker that was so unbelievably helpful at Hagley? He came down with a colleague the other day, and he came in, and I'm going, oh, have you been in before? And he says, no, it's really good, isn't it? There's something, he couldn't put words on it, because he doesn't know. But the truth is, it's God's presence, and God's presence in this place. It's a good place to come, and that's the point. God's favour is on this place. It's on us, for us to be good stewards and make this place all that Rugeley needs it to be God in Rugeley. So that's what I wanted to say first of all. And we need not to forget that. There was something that hit me that was like so unbelievably obvious that we miss it. We were praying the other day and we were talking about it. And we'd been talking at the directors' meeting about this, the guy that comes and does the bouncy castle. And he's really, you know, successful. And then it suddenly hit me. I'm thinking, it's obvious, isn't it? God's put his blessing on anything that comes in the building. Absolutely, isn't it? It is absolutely. God's blessing. And there was a lady who booked to come and actually cancelled. And it struck me afterwards. And I'm thinking, we should have crowned. You come, you'll do all right. And we still need to get back to her and say that. Because the truth is, God's presence is on this place. So when you get that in your heart, it puts the numbers into context, exactly what Sheila was saying. When God does his thing, he does his thing. And our big thing this year is buying the building, okay? And we're just about at that step to make that step, okay? I think you can just see that. If you're not good at seeing drawings, this might not be a bit gobbledygook, but it's basically a drawing of the land and the building. And the red line around all that is what we're actually presenting to the Staffordshire County Council to actually buy. Now, It's taken quite a long time, because I've mentioned this previously some weeks ago about this, but we had to wait for the guys that are building the environmental bank outside to change their plans to fit in with God. That's funny, isn't it? And they're going, oh, we're a year behind. And we're going, no, you're on time, because God's doing stuff, because you need to build a roadway. And you didn't know about that. But God did. What a sense of humour God has. Sorry. Okay. But it's brilliant, isn't it? The guy at the council said, oh, you're asking for a lot more land. So he hasn't quite seen this yet. So it's going to be a bit of a surprise for him. But I've tried to encourage him. But the truth is, I can see that God is going to put his stamp on it. Whatever. But the truth about all this is that we need to keep praying. We need to keep praying. So we're actually trying to get the final drawing with the architect this week, and we hope to hopefully present it to the Staffordshire County Council this week as well. We're trying to do all that this week. So we need to be praying about this and to be actually bear it in mind. And it suddenly dawned on me that, you know, we've had a couple of sessions of prayer meetings and things, but any time you're coming into the building, or even when you arrive, walk round the building and just pray, because God's doing stuff in this building. And all that stuff out there, they're making a mess, aren't they, out there with all their diggers and things. Well, actually, it's all going to be for God's purpose. They haven't got it written in their tender that this is for God's purpose. They think they're trying to stop all the water flowing out. But actually, we wouldn't have been able to do some of the things we want to do unless they built that bank. We would have never been able to have that land for what we want it for without that bank. So God's purpose is being fulfilled. Now, I've written a load of notes, and I haven't kept to any of them. So just one thing, a couple of things I wanted to say. One of the readings I was looking at was Ephesians 6:18, which says, pray in the Spirit on all occasions. And the deal is with that is that we have the Holy Spirit within us. And we need to be recognizing that as we pray, that when we pray, things change. When we pray, things change. And that's what we need to be encouraged about. And we need to keep maintaining the prayer, particularly as we go through these negotiations. And it doesn't end then. When we've bought it, then we've got to pray about the whole change of us actually getting to a point of building what he wants to build on the side. We're just going to have a quick word. The other part of the building update is the prayer room. And so Wendy's just going to come and share about that for a couple of minutes.
Okay, I haven't got a slide for this one. I just wanted to give you an update about the prayer room, because it's quite exciting, I think, that we are going for this, a prayer room, and we're getting on with it. So preparations are underway to create a prayer room here at the centre. It will be an office space which is on its way to the pear tree. So it's the first room on the right as you go towards the pear tree. I've acquired a number of items already, which is brilliant. So thank you to people. And it includes some armchairs, a rug, soft lighting, a painting, a sensory bubble tube, some music. And we're working on a piece of artwork for the wall. We need a small coffee table. So let me know if you have one. And just some different little bits of arty facts, arty. Yeah, arty stuff. Yeah, sorry. That would just make that place really special. Once complete, it will be a place where we may go. At any time, the centre is open, either on your own or with others to pray. This resource will enable us to simply spend time with our Heavenly Father, a time to soak, absorb his amazing love for us, to meditate on his truth, and to take time out to renew and refresh your inner being. As a leadership team, we've begun to do this, and I've never done this in my life. And it's really good to do this together. And as a leadership team, you know, to be able to sit and rest in the Father's arms together. It's an amazing thing. And he turns up. On the newsletter, it rolled through, and you may have seen it when you've looked on your phones, the prayer mountain. And I just saw that, and there was just a couple of things I wanted to pick up from that. It says, before Jesus walked on the Sea of Galilee, he climbed a mountain to be alone with his Father in prayer. He left the demands of the crowd at sunset. So he left the demands of the crowd at sunset, and he prayed until dawn. Then he came down the mountain in the power of God's Holy Spirit and stilled a raging storm. He did that after he'd gone and prayed. Wouldn't we love to know how he prayed that night? Prayer is a mountain that needs to be climbed. It is a discipline. It's a mindset. It's a choice. It's a way of life that as Christians we can enjoy. So as we take time out to pray, I pray that we will learn to go up to the mountain to pray and leave the ever-increasing distractions and demands that we're all pulled by for a while and choose to spend time with Heavenly Father. And as we do, we will gain perspective, courage, hope, grace, and inner peace to face what lies ahead. Dave many times has reminded us of the reading from Philippians, and I'll just finish with this. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard our hearts and minds as we live in Christ Jesus. Thank you.
Thanks, Wendy. That's great. Now, that just leads me very nicely on to the fact that we've actually got a prayer meeting tonight between 7 and 8, and that's another opportunity for us to pray. We're going to pray this evening about things that we've talked about through the family meeting today. So that'll be 7 o'clock till 8 o'clock. And it's those opportunities we also get things where God just puts his little touch upon our times together. And one of them was Rosie's when we met for prayer early in the week with that Formula One car, and seeing how that picture of us working together as team and allowing other people to come and work with us. And remember Dave and Julie and Tony and Kay, that actually getting us ready, that car in the pit ready to go out. Because it's a one of a number prophecies that we've had to say that God is actually preparing us to go out, and we're then actually going to fulfill the function that God wants us to be in Rugeley. So it's just amazing. So that's another opportunity tonight for us to join together in prayer. So that's 7 till 8. Next one, I just want to jump slightly, and that is that I want you to put a date in your diary. It's the 17th and 18th of November. Put that in your diaries. I'll put it. Make sure it's on the notices for next week. It's the next... thank you. Somebody's... I didn't know there was a slide. Thank you, Matt. So, yes, we've got this weekend on the 17th and 18th of November. It's with Dave and Julie, and it's a prophecy weekend. And you might go, oh, prophecy, that's not me. The deal is, it's actually another opportunity for allowing us to experience God in a different way. That's the reality. So whatever you say, is this for me or isn't for me, don't think about it in those terms. Think about it as opportunities. Opportunities where we allow God to speak to us. Now, I don't know about you, but I find that when we put ourselves in a place where there is an opportunity for God to do something, he always does. And we just need to be open to that. And let's be honest, when he's doing some stuff, he's done some amazing things with us as church and us as individuals. And so put that in your diaries as another time to book to make sure that we're able to get together. And at the end of the day, that phrase that came to me, we had in a sermon that we had a few weeks ago, our future in God is not dictated by our past. So it's giving ourselves opportunities so our future in God isn't going to be dictated by our past. And all I can say to you is, thank you, God, that he has a much bigger picture than the picture we have. His picture is pretty amazing, and we're only seeing a glimpse. Let's see what God's going to be doing. Amen.
Morning, church. Okay. Just before the children come in, Andy's going to go and get the children, but I want to talk to you about audio, visual, and sound. Now, the guys at the back, and Katie, can you just stand up? Can you just... Scott, Matt, and Katie do a sterling job each week. And they only get noticed when things go wrong, because everybody turns around and looks at them when things go wrong up here or in this thing or over here. But these guys can't do it on their own. And there are times where one or three of these people might not be here. So you have, inadvertently, just come to a job interview. So, we have a vacancy. Okay, after three, I'd like you to go click. Okay? After three. One, two, three. Okay, and again, after three. One, two, three. Okay, you've all passed the first stage of your interview. We are looking for help to provide words and PowerPoint slides on a Sunday morning during the service as a part of the worship team. Now, if you've got a computer at home, it's as simple as what you've just done by clicking. Because everything's pretty much set up each Sunday morning. All you have to do is click in the appropriate place. So, what's in this role? Well, full training will be provided while he's still here. It is really simple, honestly. The benefits. There are some benefits. First of all, you'll be serving the family of God. And serving itself is an act of worship. So you'll be worshipping as you click. Okay, after three. One, two, three. You've got it. You will have, and this is the real selling point, you will have your own guaranteed seat for the whole of the service, as demonstrated at the back there. Yeah? There is even an optional cushion should you require it. Okay? It's really good, really good. And, of course, you'll be able to assist in the smooth running of our family service together. Pay. I will give you, out of my own pocket, double what Matt is getting right now. Okay? But there are two scriptures there. I'm not going to read them out because that's your homework if you want to jot them down. But those two scriptures there give you the value of what you will be doing if you were to go click on the Sunday morning. After three, one, two, three. So, if you are interested, please seek God and also come and talk to me, because we need to get this up and running as quickly as we can to give these guys a bit of a break. Now, there is an optional vacancy to play around with one of them. Now, how many people does that frighten? Yeah, even Scott. Yeah, we haven't got one that big, and we haven't got one with that amount of buttons. But if you've got an interest in playing around with buttons and playing around with sound at home, again, you know, we're looking for somebody to help us with Scott as well, with the sound desk. It's not as complicated as that, I promise you. And once you get into it, you'll love it. But it's great. But yeah, please, seriously, if you can help us, we would really appreciate some help. And it is an act of service, and it is an act of worship. But we really appreciate the guys that sit at the back Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. But they too need feeding. As I found out when Dave and Judy were here and we had that weekend, that actually sitting out here, you get fed. Stuck at the back, yes, you do get fed, but you're also concentrating on what else is going on. But in order for these guys to get fed as well, you know, we need to give them some help and support. So would you pray and consider it? So after three, one, two, three.
Thanks, Alan.
Just to say, part of this, as a family, we're always evolving and changing. I mean, Matt's off to university this autumn. And as much as we don't want him to go, and as much as I've given him prophetic words to say that he should be... No, I don't. We want the best for Matt. We want the best for Matt. And it's like Sheila intimated, you know, family changes. We've had some move away because they needed to be nearer family. And so we're always evolving and changing as a family. But what we want to do now is, see, it would have been very easy to have worship and then we have the information. Your probably head is a bit going, will I remember all this? So what we're going to do as a family, we're going to have communion and then we're going to worship, because we want to thank God for everything that he has done for us. So I'll explain. There is a slight change with this, but I just want to say this. We are coming, and I've deliberately only done one table. We are coming to the communion table as family. We're not getting into our religious mode now, okay? We're still family. We've been family all morning. What's the difference now? Nothing. So we're coming to the communion table as family. A family that is actually called to a very different community than any earthly family. One that cannot be dissolved by petty conflict or disagreement. So in sharing round the table, we're sharing Jesus. And we're called to recognise that actually what we come to is his kingdom. The representation of the bread and the wine, we're coming to his kingdom, where we recognise the presence of the King. So it's not so much about the elements of the bread and the wine. The important elements are you and the Jesus you carry in you. And we're coming in communion to remember that. That's correct. And that's important, because that's what true fellowship is about. So around his table, we're experiencing Jesus in our midst. So we're all going to come together and do this. If his little ones next door, can you get them? Because we want them to enjoy this. We're going to do this family together. So perhaps that is an adult with them. Perhaps that's the adult that's crying out. Anyway, I want us to do this as family together. So can you, if you have children, make sure you know where they are. Thank you. Okay. So we're sharing in a meal that connects us with Jerusalem, old, past, but in the marriage with Jesus, we're looking at Jerusalem, future, and all that we're going to enter into. So it's about connection. So Philippines says this, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourself. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. That's what the whole of this morning has been about. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. So, we're going to take this as family together. Now, here's a few changes. Most of this is real wine, okay? So if your children are used to drinking the juice at the end of the service, I wouldn't let them do that, okay, because you're going to have some problems with them this afternoon. They're going to have slight headaches and things like that. But at the ends of these facing are four cups of juice. If you, for your own personal choice, don't want to take alcohol, that's fine. Did you see it? I got challenged personally for me that it should be wine. It's what Jesus used, and there's power, obviously more power in wine than juice, but there's power in the blood of Jesus. Also, there's the bread. There are on two each of the plates, the gluten-free wafers, if you can't take wheat. So that's the practicals. The other practicals are this. It's your choice whether your child takes that communion or not. But I want to say this under the context of, we're doing this because you're in personal relationship with Jesus. Now, if your child's not, then you don't. We think no less of you for that. In fact, Jesus commends you for that. Now, the other one, if you're not in right relationship with someone here, or not in right relationship with somebody else, if you can resolve that before you take communion, great. If you can't, then I want you to abstain from communion. Because this is not a religious act. This is done in the context of family together that is connected through the blood of Jesus. We're not going through a ritual. We're taking this together. So I want you to bring your children with you, and obviously if they're not, then you just stay there with them. But we're doing it in that whole context of family together. Does that sort of make sense? You've had that many instructions, you won't know which way to go now when I say go. And then we're going to go straight into worship. But we're doing that within the context of communion. Okay. If you'd like to get your children with you, if you'd like to stand, I'm going to pray. And then we're going to come up together and take it all together. Then the worship guys are going to go straight into worship. Okay, Father, we just thank you for all that we've heard this morning. Lord, I thank you for those that have contributed. I thank you for the giftings that you've put within the family here. But Lord, we are reminded in all of this, it is all yours anyway, Lord. We are here because of Jesus. And Father, we want you to be center of everything that we do, everything that we give, everything that we participate in. So Lord, as we take this bread as a reminder of your body broken for us, as we take that wine and juice as a reminder of the blood that you spill for us, I thank you, there is still power in the name of Jesus. Whether it's in our circumstances, our finances, our giving, our gifting, I thank you, there is power in the name of Jesus. I pray, Lord, if there are those sick here this morning, as they partake of the bread and the wine, they will know the healing touch of Father's hand. So, Lord, we submit this all to you. everything that we've spoken, everything that you are, in Jesus' name. Amen.